Hello and welcome back to another episode of Essential Mental Healing, where I am your host, Candace Fleming. And unfortunately today, my lovely co-host, Janet Hill, is not going to be joining us. She actually is going to be on a medical leave. Yes, she's fine, everyone. I'm sure when she comes back, she'll share all of her deets with you. But I promise you, I've got the next best thing. No, like literally the next best thing. Like you hear about her all the time. And like if you can't have Janet, you want her because she is her. Anyways, needless to say, she is my sister. Hey, sister, sister. Hello, Amanda Park.
Hey, sister.
How are you?
I'm actually feeling great. I'm good. I'm happy to be here and honored.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to have you. I'm excited. I don't know what's going to happen, where we're going to end up. You know, we can go anywhere and everywhere, as we do all the time. Whether it's here by land, by sea, by air, that's my ride or die. Like, you know how they say you got yin and yang? Well, you got can and man, like, yes. You got candy and Mandy, like, you got, okay.
I period, all lot, of it, but... all of it, all of it, and more.
There's like this unspoken, intertwined, invisible line to speculine. I don't know.
All
okay.
That, all anyway, the things, everything, all of it. They don't understand. Is that is all of it.
Oh my goodness. I am so happy to have you. I have actually known Amanda all of my life. She is my blood sister. Without blood, which sounds weird, but it's true. she is my sister. Like, you know how they say God made Adam, God made Eve, and then like God made Eve out of Adam's rib. Well, I think God was like, ooh, look at this heart. I'm just going to split it in half. Here's Amanda. Here's Candace. I don't know. Somehow we're sharing some things. Just the best of sisters that there ever was in life.
Ever.
Okay, I'm going to stop going on.
Ever.
You guys don't understand. I mean, maybe you think you understand, but you all just don't understand. So from very, very young, we lived next door to each other, grew up, couldn't be any closer. Stayed next door till we were about 8 and then moved away, but that didn't change anything because we just stayed more nights at each other's house.
Each other, and they had to bring us back together.
I think that, like, when I first stayed the night at your new house when we were 7, I think I stayed at a minimum of 4 nights, maybe went home for 1 and came back. Like,
yep, or I was coming to your house.
Yep. Exactly. So, but my, well, tell people who you are, what you, a little bit about what you do. And then of course, I'm just going to tell them a little bit more about you because nobody can talk you up like you.
Well, like you said, my name is Amanda. I am a nurse. I've been a nurse for about 6 years now. Graduated in 2017. I was a CNA prior to that for about 13 years. Let's see, I'm married, have 4 boys, been married for 10 years. We just passed our 10-year anniversary. Yes, everything. And I don't know. I'm living in Vegas. Loving it. Been living here for about going on 5 years now. I still love Detroit, but I got to be here in Vegas.
Listen, guys. So she gave you like these headlines of who she is and things that she's done. But you guys have to hear the through line to this stuff. I mean, girl is Superwoman, Wonder Woman, Woman of the Year, Woman of the Decade, Woman of the Millennium, has overcome all kinds of things, which is the topic of today's episode anyway, overcoming adversity, which is something that I've been able to see you do with grace to me, grace and faith for sure. And that's something I know you'll be able to talk to about when it comes to how you deal with things. But I want to start with adversity. It's not adversity number one, but one of the major adversities that you went through at a young age, which was having my lovely nephew at a younger age, and what that changed for you, what that looked like, and how it started your journey.
Okay. So I became a mother at a young age. I was 20. I got pregnant at 19 or so. I had just moved out of my house. And shortly after that, I became pregnant. Everyone around me, they was just like telling me, you can't have this baby. You got to get an abortion. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Yes, I'm not going to have this. I'm going to get an abortion. But it was just like, not even like 24 hours. I was just like, I can't. I felt connected to this baby. And they was just saying that I was going to have to move back home with my mom. And I just kept faith. I just kept my faith and was just like, I'm going to make it. I was working as a nursing assistant already. So I was working in a hospital or so. And I had him, and it's been a blessing like ever since. I don't regret it. I think about it all the time. Like if I wouldn't have had my baby.
So were you in nursing school when you had him, or did you start nursing school after you had him?
No. So that was okay. So, you know, I have four boys, so I got a lot of journeys with them. So the first one, I was a young mom. So I had to get over that. Everyone feeling like I couldn't make it. I ended up making it. Never had to move back home. Then with my second son is when things started getting really hard at 24 because my nursing assistant income was not enough. So I went and applied for nursing school. And when I was in nursing school, at my physical, that's when I found out that I was pregnant with baby number three. And again, everyone's like, you can't go through nursing school pregnant. Nursing school is hard. You're not going to be able to do it. You already have two kids, and then you're going to go through this. I made it.
Okay, wait. hold on. I got a question. So as you have baby number two, and then you enroll in nursing school.
Yes.
So then you're doing nursing school while you have two, and then you get pregnant again.
Yes.
While you're still in nursing school.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how much time has passed?
From Daniel.
From the time you enrolled to nursing school to pregnancy number three.
Oh, immediately before I started nursing school. So as soon as I was getting into nursing school. That's why I was taking the physical to go into nursing school. And I found out that I was pregnant. So I found out I was pregnant before I had class number one. So I went into nursing school telling people I was pregnant.
Got it.
And I made it. I had the baby and it ended up working out so perfect because I ended up having him while I was on break, so I didn't have to take off any time for school or so. Right at my 6-week mark, school was starting back up, so I was able to go to school. I did have to, it was a lot of early mornings, it was a lot of 5 a.m. Dropping my babies off to the babysitters, going to nursing school, going to clinicals, then trying to work on top of that because I still had to work or so. And yeah, it was hard. They a lot of people doubted me, but I keep my faith and I just keep on going.
Okay. So there's during that third pregnancy though, near the end, it got really rough physically, right?
Yes.
What happened to you physically during that time?
At the end with, you talking about with Andrew, with baby number three towards the end, it was just I was breastfeeding him or so.
No, during the pregnancy.
During the pregnancy?
With the low, didn't you have low iron during that time?
Well, I had low iron with all four of them. Four of them was all my pregnancies. I always pass out. That's why my mom wanted me to stop having babies. I always have low iron. I always have to get infusions or so while I'm pregnant. It just gets me lightheaded, but I don't have any morning sickness or anything.
But you're doing this while you're in nursing school.
Yes. I was studying, and breastfeeding and doing homework with the oldest and still trying to hang around with the toddler.
So take me here. How do you mentally get through all of this adversity that's coming your way? So like you said, you decide, okay, I have two children. This income isn't enough. I got to go to nursing school. You get to nursing school to make an income to support two children, only to find out it's got to now support three children while in nursing school, trying to make sure you keep your grades up because you need to have a B average.
It had to be a 79%. Yes.
You had to have a 79% mm-hmm. in order to
pass. Yeah. Yeah.
Not only that, you also are having your low iron, which is normal for you, but not normal while you're in nursing school. You know, like where is your mental?
My mental is always positive. I just have never been negative. I thank God every day that I don't have a sense of fear or so. I just always like to try. But in nursing school, while that iron was low, because I told you I used to pass out. So my professors and my classmates definitely see me on the floor a few times, and it was freaking them out. But it was, but I told them that I was going to be okay. It just never discouraged me. It never made me afraid to like have the baby or continue to have babies. I had forgot to say, even with my second son or so, some adversities, a real adversity that I had to face was the father of my son had actually went to jail or so. And so I felt like so alone because when I went into labor, I was by myself. And thank God you rushed up there to the hospital where I wasn't. Otherwise, I would have been pushing my baby out by myself in that room all alone. Yeah. And you came as soon as I started pushing him out.
He came out real fast from the time you gave that call to the time he got here.
Yes.
He was like, I'm coming with the without y'all. So I'm just letting y'all know that.
He was coming. Okay.
But, okay, so what is going through your mind during this time? Because how long does this go on for? How long is your now husband?
Yes. It was 90 days or so. Mm-hmm. So it was hard on him and hard on me because now I'm a new mother of two by myself, living by myself. It was pretty hard, but I just kept my faith. The three months went by actually pretty fast or so, and we just picked up where we left off and continued. And that's when I had started my journey to nursing school. And then we had Andrew. It just seems like every time I feel like I'm trying to do something positive to catch up, it's just always something else. But I never, ever had that fear of me being set back because I was having more kids. So I just always knew I was going to make it.
One other thing, one of the adversities of your husband going to jail, not only is this the father of your child, but you're lucky that he also enjoys cooking.
Yes.
So you lost the household chef.
Yes, I did, because I do not cook. It got real interesting in the kitchen, okay? I did learn how to cook some pancakes, you know?
What kind of meals did you have to prepare for the kids now that things are shaking up a little bit? How'd you have to maneuver this?
I'm just glad my babies was young enough not to really judge my cooking. So it wasn't that bad. Daniel was just 4. He couldn't really get on me. But I got good with breakfast. I could cook some breakfast. But other than that, it was spaghetti, goulash, anything with a pasta. And then I had cooked some chicken breast, that was interesting. But I made it. I was happy when he got back, back home.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
To keep the good meals coming.
What was your go-to dish?
Spaghetti and goulash.
What's goulash?
That's that pasta with the is made with chili, and then like with the vegetables. It's like pasta, the tomato sauce and chili with vegetables.
I don't think I actually ever had goulash.
Really? Everybody make it a little different, but that's how I make mine.
I don't think I've never had no goulash. I think when I hear goulash, I think jambalaya.
Oh, okay.
But, okay. Let's go back. So you mentioned your faith. I heard you say something, you know, you said that's how, you mentioned it a couple of times. That's how I keep my faith. What does faith look like to you, and how is that incorporated in your life, or how do you incorporate that when you have adversity?
Faith to me is believing what you cannot see. So in my situation, even though I'm looking at my monthly income and I'm looking at my bills, I'm like, oh, it's fine. Everything is going to get paid. Everything is going to get worked. Is going to work itself out, because God is not going to leave me. God is not going to let me down. Basically, He has always shown up for me. And I just keep, that's how I make all of my decisions. That's why I say earlier, like I said earlier, I just don't have that sense of fear. Like, it's just, I just be moving, and it just always works. Obviously, I don't be moving crazy and doing like thinking I can't get hit or hurt or anything like that, but I just feel like everything will work itself out with patience and with time, and everything just always works itself out. But that's what it is. It's believing in something that you cannot see. So we cannot physically see God, but we can feel God, and so I always feel His presence. He always gives me signs, you know. We're into our angel numbers and everything, and I just take everything as a sign and just believe that of the best possible outcome. And 9 times out of 10, it's always the best possible outcome. Like, thinking about where I am now and where I was 10 years ago, and I'm still so humble because I didn't realize the amount of growth that I have overcome. It's just humbling. It's beautiful. And I just want to continue to live on this path.
You know, I want to sit down on the couch for a second, if that's a thing. Make us a little red white couch and talk a little bit about an experience where your faith was truly tested. But I didn't ask, so would you Are we okay with that?
Girl, you know, we don't have no boundaries. Come on. That's why I'm the yin to yang. That's what we do.
Okay, so you took a trip. Mm-hmm. And during this trip, you were having the time of your life, immersing yourself in Mexico. Was it Cabo?
We went to Cabo.
And during this time, you had an experience, mm-hmm. a true experience. Mm-hmm. And it took you away and brought you back. Could you share?
Yes, I can. So y'all, I can't swim. So I cannot swim. So we was on a couples trip back in 2021. And we was all in the pool with all of the other couples. And then Gary was trying to be romantic and he wanted us to walk off to the beach. All right. So I was like, okay. So we walked off to the beach. Well, I got a little bit too close to the shore. And the currents were very large. They were huge. Or so, but I turned around to the ocean. I turned my back to the ocean, as they say you should never do. And the trying to take a picture and the current pulled me in. Now Gary is chasing after me. He trying to catch me. I didn't drop my phone. I'm in like disbelief, like can't really focus. And so I'm trying to get up. I try to get up. It pulls us back in. Now me and Gary is in the, it didn't pull both of us into the ocean. He's trying to hold on to me and stay afloat. We cannot like get to shore for nothing. It was this last final wave that like hit me in the face. And it like in me, I was like, oh my goodness, this is it. I'm not going to go back home to my kids. And I just closed my eyes and just accepted it. Or so, and I know to a lot of people, they just feel like it sounds suicidal or so, like I was giving up or so. But I didn't feel that way at all. For something, I just felt like at peace. And then like when I woke up, I was like, who saved me? And then somebody came up and it was like, Jesus. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And all this stuff, like praising God and everything. So happy. Yeah. And then I was asking about my husband and all of that. Gary ended up being in shock. He couldn't talk for about 2 hours. So everybody was scared. They rushed us to the hospital. They had to do CPR on me. I forgot about that major part. So they did do CPR. It was just a miracle that somebody just said that they was.
Which resulted in 6 broke ribs.
Yes. I had 6 broke ribs because of the CPR. But the person who saved me, he was a diver who just was coming down because he was mad at his wife or so. And so he seen us. And then they said it was a boat like prior hour. Because remind you, it was dark outside. I didn't mention that part. So it was like nighttime. So it was hard for people to see.
I always thought this was in the daytime.
No. This was like okay. At nighttime. So a diver came out and then a spiritual healer is the one that pulled me out of the water or so and helped Gary. And it was just amazing when I seen him. Me and Gary was having breakfast the next day and he walked up and I was like, that was him. I never even saw his face. Or so, but his presence, I just felt it was him. And we all just started crying. Or so, and we took a picture with the guy. Or so, I asked him, I said, what did you do? I was like, what are you doing? Where are you from? And he was like, I'm a healer. Or so, and it's just like miracles like that. Like, that's why I just leave it. I just give it all up to God. Like, I just do. Uh-huh. And it just always, where I just put my faith in him. Even with leaving my kids, I just keep my faith in God.
Have you ever experienced a healer before that?
No.
Did you know what a healer was before that?
No.
Do you know what a healer is now?
Well, a little bit.
No.
Not really.
Maybe we should do some Googling. How did we not Google that?
I know.
Like, as you're talking, I'm starting to think like, man, what kind of healer is this? Do I know what a healer really is? Then I'm all into the Book of Clarence right now.
Oh, you so and your Book of Clarence.
Listen, I'm thinking about how he just had his hands healed. I'm like, is he a physical healer? Like, I'm going into Disney and stuff. Like, does a teardrop make you rise from the dead? Like,
girl.
I got a lot of thoughts over here when I hear healer right now. I'm just saying, I have been elevated.
I just feel like they're chosen people from God, and they do God's work. I really think that they just do God's work. Like, God puts his powers in the healers. Yeah. Like, not that they're, you know, like they physically have powers, but I just feel like his presence is felt through his healers.
You know, I wonder sometimes if we can heal ourselves from within. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they say we have God within us, mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we could take our inner God, mm-hmm. and release that, mm-hmm. into ourselves. There's actually a book that I read. I think it's Sylvan Mind Control. Anyway, they talked about how someone who actually willed or thought or mind controlled their cells out of wearing glasses. Like, what is that to have that much mental power over yourself to say, this is what I'm going to do? It's almost like when they say, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. It's one of those things, like, just to believe, mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. One of the through lines in Book of Clarence is, rather, belief is stronger than knowledge, or knowledge is stronger than belief. Mm. And I was thinking about that, because the whole time through the movie, he kept saying, I know that God isn't real. I know, mm-hmm. he's not real. He's, mm-hmm. not real. Mm-hmm. Because he was saying that he didn't know. He knows it's not. He's, mm-hmm. not real. Because he has no existence, mm-hmm. of it. He hasn't seen, mm-hmm. it, until we get to the end where he knows. Like, so is knowledge stronger than belief? Because once you know something, you can, like you said, mm-hmm. in the movie as well, one person believes they're going to win. Mm-hmm. The other person knows they're going to win. Mm-hmm. Who's actually going to win in that fight? The one who believes it, or the one who knows?
Well,
it?
You know my stand.
And now that, tell them
your stand. It's belief. It's belief. I didn't know a lot of things. While even, like, I didn't know a lot of things through life or so. But that's why I was just saying earlier, you just have to believe that if it's meant for you, that it would be. If it's meant for you to win, you're going to win. Like, you just have to believe it, you know? Like, that's what faith is all about. He had no faith or so. You can be, it was a lot of people who I was in college with, nursing school with, who I was intimidated by, because I felt like they were so knowledgeable. And I was like, I used to get intimidated by some of the things that they already knew, and I was still kind of learning. But none of them graduated. Like, none of them graduated. The ones that I was intimidated by, the ones, mm-hmm. that was ahead of me, and I ended up, because I had been retained for a class or so, and they had moved on, and then I picked myself back up, and they ended up dropping out, and I was just so shocked, like, wow, they were so, you know, knowledgeable. But I, mm-hmm. believed that I was gonna graduate nursing school, and I did. So I gotta go, yeah. with belief.
That's something that I wrote these four words down today when I went to go watch Book of Clarence for the third time. Faith, belief, wisdom, knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because all four of those are somehow intertwined within each other. And so where do they fall in line of importance or relevance, or what's right, or what? I know it's more of a philosophical thing, probably more so than anything, but I think I want to look those up and just compare them. Because when I hear it, apparently this is becoming a movie review of the Book of Clarence.
The Book of Clarence was amazing, okay? I don't think I can go see it three times, but it was amazing. I am a big fan. So
I had to go see it this week, because this is the last week it's in theaters here. I don't know if that's every, because I was trying to figure out why there was only showing three theaters when I needed to know. And then on Thursday, it was only showing in one theater within like 50 miles of me. I was like, this is wild. I even had to go and look up how long do movies stay in theaters. Mm-hmm. And they say it's actually on average about 30 days. Crazy, right?
That is got a while. And
if they don't do well, like early on, they can get pulled within like 2 weeks of that.
Wow.
I feel like movies used to stay in the theaters for like
months. Yeah. That's why I was like, that is wow. Yeah. I feel like it was months. Like, are you going to see that old movie? It seemed like it's like it's still in theaters.
Exactly. So what am I supposed to do now?
I would want to get the Blockbuster.
Listen, so that's why I went and I took myself after work to go to the movies at a almost 10 o'clock at night showing. Because I won't be able to do that again this week. I won't be able to make any other showings, especially with it ending Thursday. Who does that? I'm so sad.
I'm sure you will find a way to watch it at home.
I'm sure, but I kind of enjoy watching it on a big screen. No, because I get a different experience every time I watch it. Like, I feel like I'm overcoming some form of adversity when I watch it.
It probably, I believe that.
Rather, it's a different experience. Storyline. And if you watch the interview of the writer before you watch the movie again, mm-hmm. you get to watch it from a different perspective.
That part, yes. That's why I can understand where
you get
at.
To watch.
Yes.
Yeah, does you get to watch it for the storyline. Mm-hmm. You get to watch it for the characters. Mm-hmm. You get to watch it for the cinematography. You get to watch it for the music. Mm-hmm. Just saying it's a lot. You get to just enjoy it. You get to immerse yourself to become one within it. I mean, I was a character in Jerusalem one of the times. I'm just saying, you know, I got to experience different things every time.
Yes, I got you.
And because it's so fresh, it is a lot of my faith examples in today's episode of Essential Mental Healing.
Yes.
So that's how we ended up getting there. Can you tell me a little bit? I feel like I don't know you at all. I'm like, can you give me some answers about you? Because I don't know these answers and I really need you to share them with people, please.
I know, right?
I'm really big in, of course, mental health and different forms of healing. You listen to a lot of gospel music, especially like in your car, on your walks. Mm-hmm. What is that experience like for you on a very taxing mental health day?
It's like my own sanctuary. Like, I just feel like it just speaks to my, it soothes my mind. Like, it just makes everything okay. Like, it just replenish my faith. Like, sometimes, you know, some days you'd be like, why is this happening to me? And then you just turn on, like, I just turn on my gospel music, and it's always a song that's a message, like, keep your faith, even though it's hard. Growth is pain, you know, all of those things. It just makes me feel amazing. I start crying. I start worshiping and all this stuff in the car. And by the end of it, I just come back in the house and I just be like, hey, I'm better now. Like, I don't like dwell on my shortcomings, or failures for too long. It's like a couple of hours and it's like on to the next, but I just get through it with my gospel music.
And you know, that's something that I noticed with you, the mental shift, like how you say, I don't stay on something long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a lot of that. What I've noticed, I should say, is you took a move from Detroit to Vegas. And there seemed to be a lot of mental stress or mental taxing when you were in Detroit. Now your environment changed, and a lot of, I guess, mental stress kind of changed or shifted. But now you have more of this positive, not that you were a negative person before, not at all, but it's this ability to look at things and change them to say, okay, you know what, this could be this way. Or like the other day you called and had a situation and I was like, well, what if it's this way? You was like, all right, well, I just didn't consider that. And I mean, literally was just like,
yes. Totally different mindset. All right. Yeah. Well, I took the move because it was a lot of negative energy. I just felt a lot of negative energy around me back home. I love home or so, but even when I come back, sometimes I still feel that negative energy. And I feel like it was affecting my mindset towards people or towards people's situations. I wasn't so open-minded. So when I moved out here, it was like, I just knew I had to get out of that space. Or so when I moved out here, it was like a breath of fresh air. Or so like I could like be me, you know, like unapologetically, find people that was like me. And like everyone around me now is like positive and I'm able to look at things from a different perspective. I used to be like, oh, I need to just prove I'm right. And now I'm not like, I need to prove my right. I'm right all the time. I'm more so as I'm trying to understand you. I'm trying to understand your side because I don't agree with this side, but I want to understand where you're coming from type of deal. And I don't care. Like, you know, like I just accept people for who they are and where they are. And I just want people to do the same for me, which has been happening. Like ever since I moved out here, it feels like everyone who I meet is accepting me for me. So yeah, go ahead.
Would you say that mindset affects energy or energy affects mindset?
That's good. It is. I think I would have to say energy. I think that that's what's happening with me. I think energy affects mindset. Or I think that energy won't allow you to focus on your mindset.
I think that's it.
Like you can't.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that that's it.
Because once that, once you like people release negative energy and they're like, you know, I'm focusing more on myself. I'm trying to be more grounded. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. a lot of times because of the mm-hmm. energy that's around them.
Yeah, because
or people who are actually in that mindset don't even attract that kind of energy.
Yes. There you go.
So it's definitely, but then that comes with, oh, so much how you've been raised, how, you know, what energy has been pumped into you in order for you to have a certain kind of mindset and certain kind of energy that you attract and that you give out. Whoa, that could be a long rabbit hole of transferring of energies and mindset changing.
Yes.
I want to apologize to the guests. I am a little sick today. My nose is a bit stuffy, so I know I'm a little nasally. So forgive me for that. I should have give you guys that early on, but I'm just sorry. So yeah, a lot of transferring of energy and mindset. I will say I noticed for myself, I've always had a pretty positive mindset as well, but after the depression of what was it, separation? Yeah. And finding my way closer to faith and building there, I began to be able to, as I was working on my relationship with God, I was building my relationship with myself. Mm-hmm. Because I stopped sharing so much with other people, which I found to allow me to find out what my own mindset was. Because I noticed I was easily influenced by others thoughts or what their thinking of was of me mm-hmm. was, which would change my mindset a mm-hmm. little bit, or at least make me feel like, or try to convince someone that I was thinking the way that they were thinking because I wanted to not be the outcast of the mm-hmm. thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah. Whirlwind, yeah, right? No, you really, you really helped me with understand with patience or so, because you would call people out like on it, and like you did call me out a few times. I was just thinking about what you just said or so, because it was like, okay, I feel I used to push my opinion onto you and want you to feel the same way I felt or be as angry as me, and you're like, but this is how I feel, and I didn't ask for your opinion. Uh-huh. You're like, this is my situation. Okay, like you don't get to have that strong of an opinion on my life.
But you know what? I thank you for respecting that.
Yes.
You know, it was hard because you even said it. I didn't like that.
I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it at all. Actually, I was in a whole attitude. I had a funk. Okay, I'm pretty sure I called my best friend and talked about you.
Oh, I know you did. I know you. You were so respectful to let me know you did that too.
Listen, like, oh. You created that boundary because it was like, okay, either I fall in line or fall out. That was like that's where it was. And I was like, well, I guess I'm finna fall in line. But it taught me patience. It taught me acceptance of people's uh-huh. situations. Yeah, you actually might be the reason why I'm like this. Because you made me put in a lot of work.
Well, I think you're a great person. So if you say that, I say thank you.
Yeah, I think you got a lot to do with it.
Well, I think we have a lot to do with a lot of each other's greatness. Because being able to have a safe place to be able to say, hey, I'm going through this mm-hmm. or hey, this is making me uncomfortable. Or when you said that hurt my feelings. If you tell me I should bring a fifth instead of a pint to a party, that's hurtful because I thought this was good enough, you know? So, you know, it's certain things.
Don't bring that up. Oh my goodness.
That we learned how to work
through. It was real sensitive. I was just saying. It was real sensitive.
Y'all, I am probably one of the most emotional people there are. And it does not have to be sad. I'm emotional because I love you. I care about you. And I am emotional if I hurt you. Like your feelings being hurt will make me cry because I didn't want you to be hurt. Mm-hmm. But somehow my actions have hurt you.
And it used to drive me nuts because some of those people I didn't feel deserved that grace. But again, like that's who you are. You have to stay true to who you were, you know? And that was important.
Yeah. But that I also had to learn that you were always coming from a place of love, mm-hmm. not a place of judgment. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way of how to communicate that love. Mm-hmm. And I think we've learned how to do that very effectively over the years, knowing that, and I guess this is just in general, when we talk about healing and mental health, when you speak to someone in love, you learn that person better. They're more willing to open up to you and say, hey, this is who I truly am. Mm-hmm. These are things that hurt me. Mm-hmm. These are things that I have done that have hurt you that I apologize for. That wasn't my intention mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, I love you.
Yes. Yes. And I think because we put that much work into each other, we expect the whole world to do the same.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, why we just can't understand each other and still disagree, you know what I mean? Like, still have different opinions. Yeah. And so now when people like get caught up on things, I just be like, why can't they just, that was like 10 minutes ago. What are we talking about?
On to the next.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I will say I really do think that we have really a mastery level in the art of communication, at least to each other.
Yes.
If we can't, everybody may not say that we are great communicators, but I can say that you and I are very effective communicators amongst each other and a great example of how to do it for others, I would say.
I would say so myself.
And you know what? And that is because, and I know this all ties into the overcoming adversity, because at the end of the day, on the other end of adversity, you do want to get to these tools of being happier or learning how to communicate better. Because before we tangent into where we were just going, what does today look like? Do you feel like you've learned how to have a more fruitful space, even with challenges? What does that look like now compared to how adversities were before? I know you've always had faith, but anger is still a thing. Defeat, fear, these are still things that come along with the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like in your 20s compared to today?
In my 20s, like you said, I always had my faith or so, but I feel like the growth was very slow because I was very stubborn in my 20s or so. I wasn't really coachable, I should say, in my 20s. So now I feel like, even though I still have the same level of faith, but I'm able to execute it more or so by when I come up to a challenge or when I come across a challenge, it's like, okay, this is all going to work. I don't really get upset for weeks like I used to before, even though I knew, and then come to the terms where, okay, it's all going to work out. It's like that moment. Like I need like a couple of hours to kind of dwell on it or so. And then I'm thinking of a new plan or so, without being able to see it. And I'm just like, it's just going to work out. I'm just going to say this and manifest that into my life or so. So I just think that I'm more coachable. I'm listening to other people's opinions or so, and not feeling like it's forced on me, but I'm finding myself in their opinions and just making their opinion work for me type of thing.
Well, I've always seen you get through adversity with grace and so many different capacities. Like I said, from your first pregnancy to your second pregnancy and delivery, third pregnancy and fourth, in a different state with the fourth one. The move, you actually did a move from Detroit to Vegas driving with three kids and a husband and two vehicles.
Twice. At first 1 week, and then 2 weeks later, we drove the other car down. We drove Gary's car down first. And then we came back, we caught a flight back. 2 weeks later, we did that drive again with the kids or so.
How long was that ride?
With the kids, they act like they were saints. Like they were, Portia was in the car. So they got mama was in the car. So they there was no arguing. There was nothing. They were like the best kids ever for that 36-hour drive.
For that how long hour drive?
36 hours. Like, drive.
How do you even think like, oh, you know, I think this is going to be a great idea to put three kids in the car and take them 36 hours. And then they actually come through and be like, we going to be chill on this ride for 36 hours.
Listen.
To our new home.
And what happened? It worked out.
You know, it's crazy I can't explain in this amount of time the amount of faith you literally put into everything. Because when you actually moved out there, you were still in the process of finding schools and homes and like everything within a 30-day time frame. You had to get all of this together.
And we didn't.
And, and I mean, there were things that was not going right.
Okay. It was what I was going to get to. I'm like, because we didn't have a lot of people. When I tell you I got fame, I be having fame. People be looking at me crazy. Okay. Because we did not have a lot of money saved up. Or so we went out there. We didn't have a job. But let me tell you, like, we was staying with his aunt for 3 weeks, just 3 weeks or so. We moved down there. Gary found his job first. Then I found my first job, which I'm still working at today. And then a week after that, I had a job at the hospital. And then like a week after that, then we found the kid's school and we was moving into our house. Just had faith.
It was insane. It was so insane. I mean, I sometimes am like, I'll tell her I just don't see it.
You said it all the time.
I will never say it's not possible. I just literally say, I just don't see it. I don't understand. And I understand that it's not for me to understand and I have to let her go on her path. Like,
yes. And that's the part I had to learn. I appreciate, and I learned that from you because you always used to say that it's not for me to understand. But I support you. And so I was like, cool.
But man, that is, it is.
You just gotta have good energy. You gotta just believe. I'm telling you, I ain't know none of that.
And it's crazy because I say how crazy it is, but then I'll turn around and use it in my own life and be like, just have faith. Yay, rainbows and unicorns and lollipops and ladybugs.
Oh, you are a unicorn because things that happen to you don't happen to nobody else. Okay. I don't get that type of grace.
What? What do you mean? No. Yes, you do. It just presents itself differently.
Yeah.
You have four children. I have one. So your grace has to be extended out a little bit.
Is that what it is?
It has to be extended in different ways. Sometimes. Listen, sometimes your grace means finding everybody clothes in one store. That's grace.
That might be. You're right. I got to take it. I got to take it. Okay. Because the type of grace that you have is like, okay, y'all, we're going to go to Disney World and I'm going to get all eight of us in for free. And I'll be like, can't you be quiet? And then she'll be like, come on, y'all, we good. Like, I'll be like, only Candace. Only Candace can pull this off, but let's go. I'm gonna roll with it because, hey, I don't see it like you say. I don't be seeing it, but I support you.
You know, sometimes you just have to put yourself in a position for someone to tell you yes. Yes, that also means you're putting yourself in a position for someone to tell you no. But do you believe or do you know they're gonna say yes? Right. You know what I'm saying?
You believe. I'm telling you. You gotta believe because we don't know.
I'm gonna take an opportunity. That's what I'm going to do.
Faith.
You have to take an opportunity because out of every 10 no's, I'm gonna get a yes.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes.
But I
they don't understand like I know. Like, I understand. Y'all don't understand.
You gotta put it out there. You have to. Dad used to always say, throw the ball out there, let it bounce around and see who catches it. I mean, I'm throwing balls all left and right, okay? Just like those seeds, you got to throw plant a bunch of seeds.
Just
got to
wait for a yes man to catch it.
And I'm just saying, they can't catch nothing that ain't been thrown.
Okay, you're right. Period. That's easier for some. Oh. That's not easy for me. Or so.
Oh my goodness, I'm enjoying you so much and. We've been on for almost an hour and we've had, I feel like this should be called Sipping with Sis.
Ooh.
Hey! Period. Sipping with Sis.
I like
sis.
It. Maybe
patent approved. Pending.
Right.
Oh my, but of course, I always want to make sure that everyone has the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number of 988. You can call or text it because that is very important. Even though we laugh and we share great messages, someone clicked on this topic on this episode because they wanted to know ways to overcome adversity, ways that they could get through their troubles. And hearing our stories and ways that we get through it, whether it's laughter, music, faith, children, spouses, whatever and whoever that is, it's always going to be your journey. And through that journey, you'll have ups and you'll have downs, but you really just have to make a decision for yourself and follow that for yourself. Again, that number was 988. You can text it or call it 24/7 in the United States and 365 days a year. Thank you. Thank you, Sissy. Is there anything, any last words you wanted to give? Anything you wanted to say? We didn't even get to talk about businesses, but no, that's okay.
That's okay.
Because that's coming. Actually, we're going to have you on again so that we can talk about businesses.
Yes.
Okay. And we can put some names and some shout outs and things with that.
Yes.
So,
you really closed it out well. I just want to say, like, just pay attention to your energy, like the energy that's around you. If you feeling uncomfortable, if people around you is giving you anxiety, change the people around you. Get rid of those people. Or so there is, it's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. But I had to do it. And it's light at the end of the tunnel. Just take the journey. The journey is worth it. Stay on the journey. Don't give up.
And also where you are today is not where you were before. Even if it looks similar, yes, there's a difference. Yes. It's not the same. There's still growth. You've got to acknowledge your growth, even if that means something like, and I just want to acknowledge this. So even if that looks like I'm an addict, but I'm 5 days clean and I relapse, let's acknowledge those 5 days sober. And when you have another stretch, acknowledge that until it becomes permanent. I mean, that's just the goal. You fall down and you get back
up.
Right. You don't stay down.
That's the only way you fail if you stay down, as long as you're trying.
That's
all you got to do. All you got to do is try. Just keep picking yourself back up. Don't give up.
That's just like when we talk about in previous episodes in domestic violence situations, a woman leaves 6 times before she leaves. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a lot for someone to say, you're going back again. But guess what? On time number 7, they didn't. Maybe it's time number 9 for that person.
Yep.
Don't give up. And whatever it is. Ever to for you, it's that mindset. If you say, I'm going to get out of it one day, I'm going to be sober
one day,
I'm going to not have this addiction one day, then guess what?
One day,
one day,
you're gonna see that light, baby. It's coming. I'm telling you, just gotta believe. Positive affirmations.
Listen, y'all. This is how our conversations go at least twice a day.
At least. Minimum.
Minimum. And we have a lot of conversations.
Yes.
But thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open. And we're going to do another, I think it will be
sipping with my sis.
That's another thing we do, but again, that's for another episode of Sipping with Sis. So thank you so much. We love you guys. Leave any comments, any emails to CandiceFleming@EssentialMotivation.com. Facebook is Essential Motivation. Instagram, Essential Motivation LLC. If there are episodes that you want to hear, definitely email me. Let me know. You can email us if you want to be a guest on the show at CandiceFleming@EssentialMotivation.com. Thank you. Toodles. And remember to always love hard, forgive often, and laugh frequent.
Hey. Bye, guys.
Bye.